Several years ago now, at one of our services, there were a lot of new people in church. It's always great to see that. These people had all turned up quite early. I went around saying hello to several of them, and I was feeling pretty good about this, when suddenly they all jumped up and walked out of the church. What was going on? I hadn't even started the service at that stage. Fortunately, one chap did stop to tell me. They'd all come for a baptism, which was actually taking place in Morton Methodist Church. The parents were at the other church. The baby was at the other church. And finally, one of the parents had phoned up in panic because none of the guests were there. It was a big surprise for all the people who were in the wrong church. It was a bit of a surprise for me. And so I have to say that this morning, it is good to see you all here. Right church, right time. Good job. Life is always full of surprises, isn't it? In a moment, I'm going to read part of the Bible. And in that, we will find some people who had some big surprises. It was a surprise for them, but I suspect that if you think about what's going on, it may well be a surprise for you as well. So, just before I read, let me pray. God, our Father, we thank you that in your love, you've given us the Bible, that you've given us the Bible because you want us to know the truth about you, the truth about ourselves, the truth about life. And we thank you that this morning, we've been able to baptize these children, that they've been able to take those first steps in following the Lord Jesus on the way that leads to eternal life. But we recognize that so many here this morning may have experienced that in the past, may have heard about that in the past, and really have done nothing about it. And we do ask that as we turn to the Bible now, your Holy Spirit will just open our hearts and minds to hear and to understand what you say and to respond to it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you want to grab a Bible, and there are Bibles in the pews, do please turn to page 1033. And I'm going to read from there. So on page, actually, should say 1032. Close? Page 1032, Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Over these sort of Sundays during the summer, different people have been speaking on what's their favourite passage in the Bible. And this one has always been one of my favourites. I just love this story of the man being let down through the roof. It is just such a classic example of lateral thinking. You know, they come up to the house, it's no good, we can't get in, it's impossible, we'll never even get to the door. And one of them says, door? Doors is for wimps, who needs a door? And they're up on the roof, break through the roof. It is an amazing example of real friendship. Those four men went to plenty of trouble to get their friend to Jesus. It's actually a wonderful example of faith. They must have been really sure that Jesus could do something for their friend if they were prepared to go to that sort of length to get there. But behind all of that, it's an event full of surprises. So let's start with our first set of surprised people. Those four good friends. Jesus was becoming something of a celebrity. Everybody wanted to see and hear Jesus. Just before this, in verse 15, Luke wrote, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed by him." And it wasn't just the ordinary people, though there were plenty of them. News about Jesus had reached the establishment. And so now, one day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. So everybody knew that Jesus was staying in this house. The crowds had come to hear him. It would have been packed. Even one person on their own would have had trouble squeezing past the rest. Four people carrying a fifth guy on a bed wouldn't have stood a chance. But they didn't give up. As we heard, they climbed up the steps at the side of the house. They got onto the roof, started breaking through the roof. And finally, they managed to lower their friend down through the roof, right down at Jesus' feet. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, get up and walk." Well, that's what they would have been hoping for, isn't it? That's what those four friends had faith about. That Jesus could actually make their friend walk. But of course, that's not what Jesus said. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." That must have come as such a surprise to those four men. You can kind of imagine them thinking, can't you? "Well, that's all very nice, but we did not go to the trouble of bringing our friend here, getting up on the roof, making a hole in the roof, dropping him down, just so that his sins could be forgiven. Forget that. Just make his legs better." I suspect that would be our response, because I think that as a society we have become very confused about sin. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word sin. Most people immediately think of the really bad things that we do. Well, no, actually, we think of the really bad things that other people do. But there's a lot more to it than that. You can go right back to the start of the Bible, to Genesis 3. Adam and Eve in the garden, and the first sin. Eve took some fruit off a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What could be so wrong about that? Surely taking a bit of fruit off a tree can't be a problem, can't be sinful, surely. But it was only sin because she did it despite God having told her not to. Sin then was rejecting God's rule over her life, wanting to live as if God wasn't there. And that's what sin is. It's rejecting God's rule over our lives. You'll see there, sin has I in the middle. It's living with me in the middle and not God. But maybe that still doesn't sound much of a big deal. But actually it is. You see, when I do what I want rather than what God wants, it actually kills any hope of a relationship with God. And we all do it. You don't have to do particularly bad things. You can actually do good things and still be ignoring God and doing what you want. You're rejecting God's rule over your life. And let me tell you, unless someone can forgive that, you will go through this life without God, and then you will go into an eternity without God. And I think when you understand just how serious sin is, then maybe you will begin to understand why forgiving this guy's sins was even more important than making him physically well. Those four friends knew what they wanted, but Jesus knew what their friend needed. Okay, let's move on to our second group of surprised people. And they were the religious experts. And at least these guys knew that forgiveness was important. But what surprised them, in fact it horrified them, was how come Jesus could claim to do it. Every now and again, I have to say sorry to someone. I always do my best to avoid it, but if I've offended someone, if I've done something to upset someone, then I need to apologize. I need to ask for their forgiveness. And if I won't do that, then that relationship is soured and spoiled. And we all know that's the case. All around us we see the damage that unforgiveness can cause to relationships. But the thing is, it's all too easy to forget that whenever I do something wrong, it doesn't just involve me and that other person, it involves me and God. So whatever I've done, ultimately I need God to forgive me, because unless God can forgive me, my relationship with him is ruined. And these religious experts knew that. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And the answer, of course, is that no one can. So what was Jesus playing at? And Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he asks, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? Which is the easier of those two to say? And I'm pretty sure that if you were asked that, say it was one of the questions on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? Your answer would be, it's a lot easier to say your sins are forgiven. Final answer? Yes, Jeremy, final answer. But I'm afraid that would mean you'd lose. We think it's easy to say somebody's sins are forgiven because we forget how serious sin is. The surprise that the religious experts had is that Jesus is actually able to forgive sins. Jesus can forgive us. And just to prove the point, he healed the man anyway. So does that mean that Jesus forgave that man's sin without being asked to, so we can expect him to forgive our sin without us needing to ask? Will Jesus ultimately forgive everyone's sin regardless of their attitude to him? Well, Luke doesn't fill it out here, but the answer to that has to be no. Right at the start of Jesus' ministry, Jesus told people what they needed to do. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn to Jesus. So Jesus' offer of forgiveness has to be taken along with that. In order to receive forgiveness, you've got to turn away from your sin. In order to receive forgiveness, you've got to turn away from ignoring God. That's why those questions were at the heart of our baptism service earlier. Do you turn to Christ? Do you repent of your sins? Do you renounce evil? The parents and godparents had to affirm that. Because without that, there can't be any forgiveness. Without forgiveness, there can't be any hope. That's why these children have to grow up to understand that for themselves. They've been given the invitation, but if they don't do anything about it, it'll do them no good. So, four surprised friends who discover that forgiveness is actually more important than anything. Some surprised religious leaders who discovered that Jesus is actually able to forgive sins. And one last set of surprised people. And that was the crowd who were there. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We've seen remarkable things today." Everyone was amazed. They'd come knowing that Jesus was remarkable. They'd come expecting him to do some amazing things. And yet their expectations were way, way exceeded. They'd expected a lot from Jesus, but he'd done more. They weren't just amazed because Jesus had healed the man. They'd seen Jesus do that before. They were amazed because Jesus had shown that he had the authority to forgive their sins. Therefore, he was the one who could actually give them a living relationship with God, now and for eternity. No wonder they praised God. This was good stuff. Because now there was hope. At last, here was someone who could forgive them. But now, just let me bring this up to date. Because as I said, maybe the surprises that those people had are surprises that this morning you need to engage with yourself. Because maybe you've come here this morning thinking that actually you're okay with God. You've lived a reasonably good life. You've not really done anything that wrong. You kind of leave God to get on with his business and he leaves you to get on with yours and that sort of thing. So many people feel like that. But perhaps you need to be reminded, surprised, by how serious sin is. You see, that guy doesn't say anything about him having done anything particularly wrong. He was just every man. But he needed forgiving. There was a playwright called Heinrich Heine, and his last words were apparently, "God will forgive me, that's his job." And that is just so blasé. Sin is serious. Sin is deadly serious. There may be a load of things that you would want to ask Jesus to do. But the most important thing he actually can do is to forgive your sins. Because that doesn't just affect life here and now, although it does that. It affects you for eternity. Yeah, maybe this morning. You need to just be hit by that surprise that actually you need to be forgiven. Maybe you need to be surprised that Jesus actually can forgive your sins. You see, the flip side to what I just said is that so many people go through life carrying a load of guilt for something they've done in the past, which they don't actually need to. Whatever you have done, Jesus can forgive you. Whatever you've done, Jesus is ready to forgive you. Perhaps the surprise you need is it's just how amazing Jesus is. You see, it's so easy just to think we know about Jesus, to know the name, to go through life thinking we believe in him just because we know that he existed or something like that, and to forget just how amazing he really is. You see, because Jesus died and was raised to life, you can be forgiven. Because Jesus died, everything that you've done wrong can be dealt with. You can be given a fresh start. Because Jesus died, you can have life. And you can be assured of eternal life. So it is one of my favorite things in the Bible because it's a great story, but it's also so full of surprises. It left a whole load of people surprised way back then. And maybe today, it's got a surprise for you. And if you have been hit by one of those surprises, if you've realized, yeah, you know what? I actually do need to be forgiven. I want that relationship with God. If you've realized, I can be forgiven. That's what Jesus does. If you've realized, Jesus is so amazing that he deserves so much more from me than just a kind of casual passing acquaintance. If any of those surprises have hit you, And this morning's a great time to do something about that. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And it's a prayer that you might want to echo in your heart. And if you want to know any more about that, there are cards in the pews that you can fill in and just pop into the box at the back. And we'd be happy to get in touch with you. Just the key thing is when you get that surprise, not to just kind of shrug it off. When God speaks to you, it's always best to listen.